today, Reverend Jim Jones in Saga, where we are. So in answer to this mail and many other requests that we have received, mostly from the FCC and the Reverend James Jones, I'm kidding. Mostly, too, because last time Western Consulting, wild-eyed, I got to be very careful about this, otherwise I'll have to have him back on the show. Last time the Reverend Western Consulting, Perry, was on, he said some awful things about the Reverend James Jones, and so the Reverend James Jones is back again this morning with some additions, one which will look like a parrot, but don't be fooled. One will look like a dog, but don't let that kid you. And third will look like a chimpanzee, and that one will be me. Anyway, stand by for the Reverend James Jones of People's Temple after you take a look at this, please.
I guess I can stop it.
This is Polly. Polly wants part of my arm. I'm going to sit at a safe distance here from the Reverend James Jones and friend. That is not the Reverend James Jones. He is the colorless one holding this very colorful parrot, whose name is what?
Sir Rook.
Rook?
A Rook.
A Rook.
He just says, I love a Rook. I happened to be able to get him in our shelter because he was quite a bad cusser. And he was pretty violent. But now we've tamed him down considerably.
He had a salty...
very salty vocabulary.
Yeah. Could we bring some of those other people up here?
Well,
we've got all of the animals today. Oh, you're not going to take him away, are you?
All right. I have to take him away.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yes.
If it's him. Oh, I see.
Let me see. Can I just walk here?
Yeah, that'll be all right. Sure. He doesn't, doesn't decide he wants to. I beg your pardon. Let's hope we don't develop some silly menage. We have, look what we have for you here. We have, in addition to O'Rourke, we have, who is this person?
This is Mr. Muggs, and he was going to be experimented on, we felt unnecessarily. So we felt we wanted to rescue him.
He goes a week's work, scattered about these.
And this little dog here happens to be Mr. Nimrod, but he beautifully lets them play with him to any extent. And we love him because of that.
But this is part of the animal population at your shelter?
Part of them, many. Most of them are just ordinary little mutts and cats that have been abandoned. We need to go and immunize them and give them homes.
Yeah.
I think, right. Ron, do you want to go back now?
Any resemblance between Mr. Muggs and a well-known pastor, and not this one, I hasten to point out, named Lester Consulting is coincidental.
I don't think he'll go to you.
Lester Consulting was on this program, a couple months ago, and as is his way, he said some things that we all regret about the Reverend James Jones of People's Temple, and I wasn't kidding when I held this mail up. This is part of the mail. This is just a sample of the stuff we collected. Let me just read a couple of these things. You probably know the kind of things here. Commissioners, right? As I was mostly, I was most interested in the advertisement in the San Francisco Chronicle of Sunday, July 22nd, concerning Pastor Jim Jones, who was to appear on your programs. On the date aforementioned, I failed to view your program until 7 a.m., which was my understanding that the Reverend Jones was to appear. Can you inform me when he will be on your program? And a whole bunch of other ones, similar notes, commenting about your last scheduled appearance, which I believe got canceled because of Watergate.
Yes,
did it not?
Yes, I didn't think there was any issue about that.
Yeah, well, at any rate, we just wanted to let members of your congregation, anyone else interested in the Reverend Jones.
Well, most of the non-members that know, because we made it very clear our membership, problems.
Yeah, my stars, the reaction is just unbelievable. That's really just a small sample of mail. I just collected that for over a period of, 2 days. So, you could, or maybe just a day, I forgot. Just a day or so. Well, you do. And you've been in the news recently because of a most unfortunate fire at the temple here in San Francisco.
This is why I would like to, I wish I could get across to our critic, the necessity of watching the sources, because we couldn't even recognize the article, one negative article we had from him. I think more than a coincidence that the two churches that fire inspectors have now said undoubtedly were connected, both came under blistering attack by this woman. I think that, not to say, perhaps it encourages the flame of, it flames the passion of a pyromaniac. At least I think there's a good bit to look at, and we've had others suggest this to us. If I hadn't had a deep feeling on Wednesday night and kept back my congregation, 700, just a kind of a feeling that hangs on to you, I just simply could not let them go, and I held them until 2 o'clock in the morning. Otherwise, 40 young college students would have been in there. They said they couldn't have possibly survived.
You had a premonition?
I had a feeling, deep feeling, yes. A premonition.
A fire or just some danger?
The thing about the paranormal with me, I didn't recognize that I mentioned fire, but the congregation also
did not hear that you said fire.
But all I could feel was this eerie feeling, and I do remember the remark that we knew some of the people that we must stay. Mm-hmm. We must stay.
So when you say stay where, sir?
In our congregation in Redwood Valley.
Oh, I see.
We thought we would be out about 10:30, and we stayed till 2 something that
morning. See.
Otherwise, we would all been bedded down. We slipped in through the basement part. It would have been easy to put the gasoline, or they put gasoline at the stairwells, and in three minutes, no one could have escaped.
The fire department thinks it, or has confirmed that it was arson.
Arson, and they suggested, at least to us, that both fires were connected with the Legion Order of Man, which also was listed in the same...
By a consulting article, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. You think there's some kook running around out there who's following...
I think they're encouraged, at least, by this type of thing. I can't say. That's just something.
Well, we're sorry to learn about the fire and the loss of
the
building.
Yeah.
Let me suppose... I think this mail and the response to your last appearance, which, as everybody I guess now knows, was obviated by Watergate. We were not stuck with, but you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
We had no choice on Watergate. What do you think accounts for the I don't want to use the word fanatical because that's maybe overloading a little bit, but the devout, loyal following that this sort of mail represents. One failure to appear, and we get flooded by mail, wanting to know what we've done or when will be your next pension. What accounts for that, do you suppose?
Because I say the parish very well knew why we weren't going to appear.
I'm assuming a lot of this came from people who were not members of the parish.
But I don't know, depending upon what type of crimes you're mentioning, maybe it's interest, maybe it's curiosity. These people, I read your mail, are people who...
Well, I'll be glad to turn this over to you. It's all kind of the same word. I want to get us on the phone here, but I'll just pick one out at random here. This comes from San Francisco. You're on tent there, Dr. Jones, and your talk show this morning is commendable, and I appreciate you for it. I had read in the Sun Reporter newspaper that he would appear, and I was tuned at 7:15, only to discover Watergate was on, and so forth and so on. Signed, Jeffrey Resnick of San Francisco. And there's dozens and dozens of these letters. Well, listen, a lot of people want to talk to you, and there's no point in me talking to you when you can talk to them. So let's punch up the phone and give them a chance. Call you in the air with Dr. and with Reverend Jones. Go ahead, please.
Yes, a lot of things here is about to be, you know, really awakened on Thursday when the young child was allowed to die without his insulin was going to lay just as still and just as embalmed, you know, when the hour passes. And I would like to ask this person, what you're seeing is when a person's died, does he have any conscience, you know, when he tells persons that they will be healed, you know, and they aren't? You know, what is his conscience lie? I really would like to know.
He makes a great mistake in putting everyone in the same category. First place, I don't tell anyone that they're healed. I tell them to go and see if it will bear the test of empirical evidence. We do not ever, in any way, oppose medical science. We teach complete
cooperation. Can they die while they're waiting for some evidence, just like this child?
We don't ask them to wait 1 minute. We would ask them to wait 1 day. We tell them to go immediately to their doctor.
How do you, I'm glad the caller brought this up, because I think lots of us are complaining about this. This was in Barstow, a youngster suffering an insulin, needing insulin, was, through a faith healer's recommendation, was taken off insulin and...
Well, that's fanaticism.
Suddenly died. Right.
Complete.
I would agree. Would you disagree with that, caller?
I agree with him 100%. Anyone in a real world, knowing where medical science stands. I mean, you know, if you don't believe in evolution and all that, fine. But medical science has saved a lot of persons. Have become geniuses, persons who have become other real world healers. And this was one of the heaviest tragedies, where two parents, both of them suffering from the same, you know, temporary insanity, I hope, who allowed their child to die. I mean, if this child had a right to life, and here you have two parents, both over 18, who allowed this child to die. That is the saddest thing I've ever heard of.
I feel that no parent should impose their religious opinion to this degree upon their child.
Let's keep this alive just one moment. Sorry for that choice of word. We'll break here for a moment. I'd like to talk more about faith healing as you understand it and some of the resurrections or whatever they are that you have performed. The Reverend Jim Jones is our guest, and we'll have some more as I am rolls along right after you watch this.
This
probably
wondering, where are you folks?
An editorial by General Manager Russ Conklin.
I figured that would be one of the...
Now, the San Francisco Police and Fishing Program was able to get this Pier 41 from the Port Authority. It'll provide part of the needs of a program that's expected to involve 10,000 youngsters this year. The program is open to any child in San Francisco from the ages of 7 to 17. And it furnishes the children all the equipment that's necessary to catch a fish and cross instruction and supervision. Now, since one of the reasons behind the program is to keep children busy by stimulating an interest in sport fishing, the juvenile crime rate is reported down whenever this program is active. It's a success, in other words. And this, of course, benefits all San Franciscans. But strangely, one of the biggest donors to the program is the Garcia Corporation of New Jersey, which has given about $30,000 worth of rods, reels, lines, and bait. And about 700 San Franciscans contribute to this program as members, but no San Francisco business has come close to the generosity of the Garcia Corporation, and they're a continent away. Now, besides the pier, the program needs minibuses, so we can transport the younger children to the pier and the older youngsters to fishing spots at lakes and streams. And many San Francisco-based businesses who constantly show the same generosity as the Garcia Corporation, but perhaps they just don't know about this program. Now we ask them, what better form of advertising could there be than to have a minibus bearing your company's name for a use in a cause such as this? The youngsters who are transported in your minibus won't forget your name, and you won't forget the opportunities you offered the young San Franciscans. If you're interested, please give us a call. Just call us at 863-0077. 863-0077. Thanks in advance. After 7, the Reverend Jim Jones is our guest. If you want to talk to him, give us a call. East Bay, you're next with Reverend Jones. Go ahead, please. Hello. Caller.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. You're on the air.
Reverend Jones?
Yes.
I was in a meeting when that Reverend, the great guy, you said that you had practiced black magic along with several other groups. And another occasion, I heard him say, Catherine Coleman, Warren Roberts, Mary Baker Eddy, Unity, the Methodist even. Gene Dixon and Edgar Casey, and he said they all practiced the form of modern black magic. Well, I was just curious, what is your connection with this?
I didn't hear that comment, but it's ludicrous. I take deference to that word black, too. There's no magic in faith, and we certainly have no interest whatsoever in any kind of witchcraft or occultism in that sense. I think all I heard on the last program was that he mentioned youth's interest in cults and Satanism, and he blocked me along with some others, but I don't remember his remarks from about Mrs. Coolman and Mrs. Eddy. I think were separate from that particular package. I have no connection with any magic. That's all I could say on this subject.
Well, what would you call, let me ask both of you, caller and Reverend Jones, what would you say would be an accurate description of an ability to resurrect the comatose, the dead, or whatever it is that, you know, your faithful claim for you. Well, isn't that magic? I would call it magic or miraculous.
In a sense, we're very humble about this. We say that the vital signs are not apparent to the medical people in that hand, doctors or the nurses.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we don't have an encephalogram. We don't have a way of taking brainwave tests. There have been unusual phenomena reported to us through faith, using on one occasion I recall a picture. A lady was waiting for the ambulance to come to get her daughter. And we checked that out, and it seemed to be quite accurate. But I don't think this is unusual in terms of even science today, when we find that journals such as Wall Street are mentioning the revival of plants by Love.
Mm-hmm.
And the hero of wounds, I think, is Dr. Carol Nash, the eminent biologist that mentions how rats and rodents have responded to the healing touches in a disproportionate sense that would show that unquestionably there's a certain love force and magnetic force that goes from the hands.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just an extra dimension of science.
Now, do you think you're psychic? Do you think you have a psychic ability?
It's been proven that I've had awareness of things that were going to happen.
Well, I guess this premonition would be an example of that. Carl, how do you feel about this?
Well, I was really surprised to hear any mention of Pastor Jones in connection with black magic, because my mother-in-law's sister had bad cataracts, and she went to one of the pastor's meetings who I lived in. And when she came back, they were gone.
They were gone?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you call that?
Well, I don't know if that's Pastor Jones.
No, I want to ask you. We just heard from the Pastor Jones. What do you call it?
Well, I think it's wonderful.
Well, I do too, but is it not miraculous? Is that not magic?
Well, I don't know. I think miraculous is
I call it a miracle.
Yes, indeed. I do think it's miraculous.
If it occurred. And I'm not disputing it. I just wasn't there, so I can't affirm that it occurred. I just have to take your word for it.
The man uses his powers for the good.
Sure. Okay, thanks very much. San Francisco, you're next with Reverend Jones. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Mr. Deborah.
Yes.
I'm calling in as a member of People's Temple. I've been a member for 4 years now.
Yeah.
And I work in the field of law enforcement.
Yeah.
I'd just like to share some of my experiences with you that I've had since I've become a member of the church.
Okay.
I was an atheist when I first came to church.
Mm-hmm.
I was attracted by the human service ministry that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went to the healing services, the many miracles that happened at each service was my opinion. In fact, I myself was healed by Pastor Jones.
Of what? What did you deal with?
Well, I had suffered with constant kidney infections since I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother had taken me to so many specialists that I was a breathing faith in medical science.
How did the Reverend Jones cure you? What did he do?
Well, the very first healing service that I went to, Pastor Jones called me out through the gift of revelation. And he told me facts and events that happened in my life that I had not mentioned to anyone in the room,
mm-hmm.
as well as thoughts that I had that I never even verbalized to anyone.
Yeah, well, that didn't cure your kidneys, did it?
Well, then this built my faith, and I realized that God was working so tremendously through Pastor Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pastor Jones spoke the word of healing to me, and I felt relief in my body, and I have never had trouble with my kidney since then.
You had a certified kidney complaint. I mean, this was something doctors could verify.
That's what I did.
This wasn't just up in your head there. It was
but when I was a young child, it was something I thought I always had with me.
And you've had no problems since?
No, none since.
I call it a miracle.
I certainly would, too. And I've seen so many. I remember an older woman from Los Angeles, Roxanna White, came to a recent service, and she had been in a wheelchair for 5 years with arthritis. And Pastor Jones called her out through the Spirit of Revelation, and within seconds, she had gotten up out of a wheelchair, running around the auditorium, jumping and praising the Spirit of God.
You know, we've seen so many. Now, I'm not talking about the Reverend Jones here, and I hope you understand this, and I hope the caller understands it too, and I hope other viewers do. So we've seen so many examples of fraud and trickery and deceit. They call that kind of thing ringing in well. That's what they call a ringer. You know, I mean, there are a lot of ways I could explain it. In fact, I could perform that too.
Mm-hmm.
Iconner and I could do that right now, couldn't we? I could put Ike in a wheelchair, and he claimed to have been crippled for the last 12 years, and then suddenly when I lay on hands up, he jumps and runs around. And there might be a lot of folks suffering who would take that to be some sort of a sign, and it would be nothing more. a trick.
Yes, I am.
How do you know it wasn't a trick?
Well, I was close to the woman. I saw the tears in her eyes. I saw the look of joy on her face.
You can give the address.
It was renewed.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit was so strong that if you had been there to witness it, as I have made,
mm-hmm.
you'd know that this...
Well, you certainly know that the relief you felt in your kidneys, in your system, was not a trick.
That I do know.
Right, okay, thank you, ma'am.
We remember that case, and I mentioned it the last time. I said, whatever it may have put her there, I wouldn't, you know, be so speculative to say what condition they put her there.
Sure.
But she is a person that we can easily give you for Dr.
Sosa. She's waiting with the arthritis.
Yes, she was there 5 long years, mm-hmm. and something inspired her in that service.
Oh, you mean she'd been coming to services for 5 years?
No. She had been coming for some time, though, in a wheelchair, but she's been 5 long years in a wheelchair, and this was a matter that we did document. So we have, I know who she's speaking of. I can give you information.
I'm asking those questions, Reverend Jones, only because skepticism is kind of a healthy condition.
I think so.
And in the past, we have been, we've exercised a healthy skepticism with respect to other psychic occurrences on this program. Marie Gillick is an example. And lots of us have come away puzzled, confused about what we saw, not quite so skeptical as before. And if it's possible with Uri Geller, if he can indeed bend a nail by laying our hands, maybe we can cure a kidney problem by laying our hands too, or ministering to the needs.
I'm convinced that faith can heal.
Well, I'm not in a position to dispute it so stoutly as I used to. The Reverend James Jones, I guess, and we'll have some more as A.M. rolls along right after this.
You've got to go. Bye.
Let me ask you a question before we ask the Reverend Jones to comment on that. Are you a member of the People's Temple?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a member of the People's Temple?
No, I am not.
Have you ever heard him speak on combating totalitarianism?
Well, I've read the article, and it's, you know, there was some...
Yeah. Well, listen, what I'm getting at is we've got 12 lines in here, Reverend Jones, and every one of them is from people who are, I think, confirmed in their belief. What we would like to get is some folks who want to ask some honest questions. I think you already know the answer, don't you, Colin?
Have you?
You already know the answer to the question you've asked.
I've never heard him speak.
Oh, you haven't?
I've read the article.
I see.
And I've been very...
Yes,
I'm very much worried about this, and I
want to
know what some of our
spokesmen think. Okay, well, I'll tell you, we'll give you your answer on the air, and thanks for the call. Well, how do we combat totalitarianism, fascism, and communism? And she says she has read some of your comments on it.
How do we combat it?
I'm
concerned about totalitarianism, and I feel that the church does its part in taking care of the necessities of its people, as the scripture admonishes, take care of the household of faith. I suppose we would be able to bring about the Jeffersonian dream of the government that governs least and governs best. I don't know. I have no real...
political orientation part of your daily ministry? Do you feel the need to...
Well, we're concerned about the
comment on politics.
Basic freedom, not partisan politics, no.
Mm-hmm.
But we were concerned very much about the free press recently,
sure.
and civil rights in general.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as feeling their panacea, again, we don't. We just feel that the church will do less edifice building and do some of the things that we're doing, and others are doing this. Their own senior citizen homes, their own convalescent homes, their own children's homes,
mm-hmm.
take care of the animals, and this type of thing,
mm-hmm.
to provide, as we do, 109 youngsters that receive an education directly from our parish. 5 are studying to be doctors. That shows the respect.
How many members in the parish now?
10,000.
10,000?
Over 10,000.
Is that confined mostly to California, or is that nationwide?
California.
In California?
Yes.
How do you... Well, that church up there in Ukiah is
big on the ground. We're talking about Los Angeles, San Francisco,
yeah.
and the River Valley Church.
How many services do you have on a Sunday?
Well, each week I minister in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and River Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a job.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And my voice is showing a little bit of it today.
Yeah.
In fact, one of my doctors thinks it's very blackness of my voice continues. I use it about 12 hours a day.
You do see a doctor every once in a while.
Well, I believe that.
I know I seem very skeptical. I don't ask that question that way. You do.
I'm probably poor doctor's patient. I don't go as I ought to, but I do recommend it strongly.
Mm-hmm.
And that my voice, as much as I use it 12 hours of public speaking, it's miraculous that it continues. So, and I don't have any treatment for that. That's something I've had to learn.
Yeah. Okay, let's take our next call. East Bay, you're next for the Reverend Jones. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hello.
Good morning.
I was asked the Reverend. I heard a couple months ago that he was in favor of abortion. That really surprised me because I've heard a lot of really nice things about the church.
That he was in what? I didn't hear that.
I'm sorry. He was in favor of abortion.
Oh, in favor of abortion.
Yeah, and I have a lot of respect for life, and I thought he did too. Like, my grandmother went to me from Washington, D.C. and sent me an article about the church in Washington, D.C. and how they were cleaning up the Capitol and stuff. I just couldn't understand his point of view.
Well, all right, how about
abortion? I will not take a stand, like she said, against abortion.
Yeah, in favor of abortion.
She said I take a stand
in favor of abortion, she heard, she said.
Well, I take a stand that the woman's body certainly is part of her. I'm not ironclad in the position. I'm concerned that with any form of human murder. When you start in the fetus, I'm wondering where we're going next.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a permissiveness about it that frightens me terribly.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not championed any view either one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't sound like a pro statement to me, Carl. I'll give you a pro statement if you want to hear one, so you can compare it.
Well, I guess
you heard it from the man himself. I say you heard it from a man himself. Any questions further?
No, I didn't hear.
You just did.
I just spoke, and I have not taken that kind of position.
Are you a member of People's Temple?
No.
All right, are you thinking about it?
I don't know. I'm thinking of going there. I think it sounds really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thanks very much. What about, let me just ask you this. The snake people down south someplace who've been passing rattlers among the faithful as a test of faith. You know, test by the fire and all that sort of business. And there's a consequence. You know, the little fellow who died because his parents took his insulin away. Well, there's been some people died because they've been bitten by rattlesnakes. Now, it seems to me there's a great danger that, I hate to use the word fanatic, but I think some of the fanatics, I guess, feel that the only way to affirm it, it's not enough to just affirm it, affirm my faith in whatever. I have to hold a rattlesnake to prove that I really can't pass that test, and people die.
Sincere,
I guess you have to be sincere to hold a rattlesnake. But how do you feel about that? Aren't you concerned about that?
I think any time you take a realistic position on matters like this, you're going to end up with this type of fanaticism.
Yeah.
And I think biblical evidence does not support it. It says all good things come from God, and that would include medical science. All things that are positive and good and empirically proven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, snakes, I think they distort the scripture in Mark about handling of snakes. But the responsible church does not involve itself in the field of spiritual religion. Only one small portion of our work. We're more involved in human service than we are in spiritual healing.
Mm-hmm.
But if the responsible church does not, it's going to be then left open to all those who have sincere, maybe but fanatical ideas that end up in a tragedy like this, where people waiting on a little boy to be resurrected in 4 days. And what pattern they, or why they picked 4 days, I don't know.
I don't know.
3 days, Jesus was supposedly in the day.
Yeah. Well, you see, Lester Consulting, I have to defend Lester. Lester's long gone, and I must say, in lots of ways, I'm relieved. But to defend, not to defend Lester, but to account for his antagonism. Lester feels the same thing and puts you in the same group with the snake people.
But he didn't when he was there visiting us.
So I
don't know.
I think that's the implication of what he's saying. You know, I'm not trying to put words in his mouth.
It's sure it's another spiritual healing program that has free legal services for the poor,
mm-hmm.
housing for its people,
mm-hmm.
guaranteed to its people that they will never be left lonely in their golden years. Senioritism loans, college dormitories.
Let me ask
this type of thing. I don't know of any group that involves itself in a mystical orbit so much that does what we were doing.
Let me ask about funding at about it. These folks who receive free housing, do they give up anything in exchange for that? For example, do they give up...
Not required,
but do they voluntarily give up money, for example?
We've not had any property turned over to our church. But there's no arbitrary about that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the last month, we've saved three of our members' homes. We've saved a lot of people's homes, mm-hmm. by paying back payments, older people who were disadvantaged economically. And I can recall at this point, no property being transferred.
I say that because I know of one congregation, not yours, but it's up your way.
Yes, I know.
And part of the arrangement is in order to receive certain tax benefits is the members of the congregation turn over all of their worldly goods, all of their real property, to the church, and it's incorporated. It receives a blanket tax exemption as a consequence. The church then realizes this property and then allows you and me to live in the house that we formerly had title to. Now we turn title over to, they now hold the deed and so on. And it's kind of a tax dodge. It's not, again, I'm not talking about the Reverend Jones. It's kind of a tax dodge. It provides the church with what it needs, real estate, and it increases
its tax. Clear on this point. I would be happy to see if all churches would use any kind of tax privileges and ministerial privileges to avoid war. Then I think the church's conscience would return, and it would do a great deal for to boost the life and the spirit of the church.
Let me turn this over to you. You'd be interested, I think, in some of this mail. We've saved, that's just a portion of it.
Thank you.
And I'll any more mail that we get, I'll pass along to you. Good to have you here.
Pleasure.
Sorry about Lester.
Well, I hope we won't have to do it again.
He's in Washington, so I don't think we have that to worry about again. And thanks for bringing the parrot and the dog and the chimp. Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Reverend Jim Jones of People's Temple. Jean Nidich performs miracles in a way. She's president of Weight Watchers International.